This is HeartWise, offering practical tips and time-proven guidelines to make your life healthier, happier, and more fulfilling. Today you'll learn simple Bible-based principles for building and maintaining optimum mental and physical health, all while deepening your relationship with your Creator. I'm your HeartWise host, Charles Mills. Every once in a while on this program, we like to stop and take stock of what's happening in the world of modern medicine. Diet, exercise, nutrition, and all the other biblical prescriptions we promote are all important. But if we ever need to walk through the doors of a hospital, it's nice to know that science has been busy lately, very busy. Here to discuss the latest developments in medications, procedures, and lifestyle discoveries is Dr. James Markham, founder and director of HeartWise Ministries. Dr. Markham, what's happening?
Well, good, Charles. And I like to talk occasionally about the place for modern medicine,
yes.
You know, the place to relieve suffering and help symptoms, especially acute symptoms, something that happens right away.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just so glad that we have technology. My heart's going too slow. I saw a patient in the office today. His heart was going too slow. He wasn't quite ready to quit living, so he decided to have a pacemaker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything gets old at a certain rate, Charles.
Yeah.
Okay. For instance, if everyone in the Mills family had hearing problems at age 50,
mm-hmm.
okay,
mm-hmm.
and because of their genes, just bad genes, and I yelled in your ear all day long, well, you might have a hearing problem at age 40 and need a hearing aid, okay?
True,
your
true.
Genes have worn out. A lot of people, they can't see well, so
right.
they get glasses.
Yeah.
Well, this gentleman I saw in the office, his wires just wore out,
mm-hmm.
so he needed what modern medicine had to offer, a pacemaker. So it's very good sometimes when we
yeah.
can help.
Yeah.
If kidneys are wearing out, we can do dialysis. Before that, people died.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we don't want things to wear out prematurely, and the things that put stress on organs cause them to wear out prematurely. So we don't want, you know, people yelling in your ear all day.
Yes.
What puts stress on my system, the cardiovascular system, is lack of exercise, fat, cigarettes, diabetes, damage the blood vessels. They have a symptom. We treat the symptom, but not necessarily the cause.
Mm-hmm.
Well, modern medicine is pretty good at treating symptoms, not so good at treating cause.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I want to let everyone know. But what's out there in modern medicine that's new, that people should know about, that might be very valuable to know? Well, I dug up several of the things that are out there that people might be interested in. One of the studies from the Journal of Nutrition, you know, we're hearing a lot about nutrition.
Oh, yes.
And people with dementia. Do you know what dementia is, Charles?
I do. Unfortunately, I do. Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Unfortunately, more and more people are getting dementia.
Yeah.
Well, this study from the Journal of Nutrition studied people with dementia, and it gave them healthy tea. And they found out that drinking healthy tea is associated with a lower risk of dementia, especially for people who are genetically predisposed. And the researchers looked at nearly 1,000 people that did this, and they found that the people that drank healthy tea had a lower risk of dementia. And the reason for that is it helped some special gene called the APOE4 gene variant. But we found out that in healthy tea, they have chemicals, bioactive compounds from the tea leaves, such as flavonoids. There's another one called L-theanine. And all of these help regulate the neurotransmitter and brain activities. So, you know, when you take a pill, that has a chemical in it. Well, when you eat healthy tea, they have phytochemicals in that.
Right.
Now, they look like tea, like green tea and black tea, and they had less dementia. So the big picture here for me, well, just tells me that the food we eat has chemicals that can help certain medical conditions.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So isn't that pretty neat?
It is very neat. And
yeah.
so healthy tea, this, how often do you drink this tea? Is this once a day, twice a day?
Well, it just says regular tea drinking.
Okay.
So I guess that's, you know, at least one or two cups a day.
Okay.
And they noticed in this article that the people that drank more tea, the stronger the relationship.
Well,
you know, so
okay.
I do drink some healthy green tea
sure.
occasionally,
yeah.
and I do it because it doesn't have very many calories in it.
Right.
You know, my green tea just has 6 calories.
Yes.
So I do it instead of snacking on my snackies.
Good.
In fact, I got a little green tea right here in front of me, Charles.
Very good.
Good. Oh, here's another study that I think people will be interested in. Mm-hmm. What's new? This came out the New England Journal of Medicine, July 2017, and the researchers wanted to answer this question. Is it ever too late to start a healthy diet?
Mm,
That's a good question.
Good question.
You know, so they looked at all sorts of people, older people, younger people, and their results that people who improved their diet the most were 17% less likely to die, even if you start in middle age.
Really?
It can add years to your life.
Wow.
So it's never too late to start doing well. So if you're 70, 80, 90, it's never too late to start eating a little bit healthier.
That's good news.
Isn't that interesting? They studied when they said healthy, they used what we call the DASH diet. And the DASH diet is not the best diet, but it's heading really close in that direction. Mm-hmm. The DASH diet has lots of fruits, vegetables, nuts, and grains. But I take it a step further in my patients. I said, if you want to go entirely plant-based, mm-hmm. that could be considered the best diet if A, it's available to you, and two, if you can be happy with it.
Okay.
You know, it's if you're going to be grumpy old man, the grumpy old man's not going to help you either. And I'm learning as I'm working with people with nutrition that, you know, the bowel flora is very important. Mm-hmm. Everyone's talking about that. Mm-hmm. And if you can eat lots of fruits, vegetables, nuts, and grains, you make all that healthy bowel flora. You make chemicals called butyrate. You turn down the bad bacteria that affects. So when you do eat bad, it's sort of less toxic.
Right.
I know that doesn't sound the right thing to do. When you eat healthy, then occasionally if you do have to cheat to be happy, if you go to a party or something, your body can better take care of it. So I thought that was a very interesting study that I wanted to bring to people's attention. How about a lot of older people? They have problems with the joints. Mm-hmm. Journal of the American Medical Association said that after you've had knee replacement therapy, guess where the best place is to get rehab? So a lot of people think it's the hospital, but no, it's actually a home-based rehab is a better place to get rehab after you have a joint replacement.
Huh.
Well, why is that useful? A lot of people that have had hips and knee replacements, they think, well, no, I have to go 10 weeks of rehab, inpatient rehab, have someone there with me all the time. But they found that those that skipped that went straight home, started the exercise at home. They did very, very well with that type of rehab. Now, that's important to know for older people.
Is.
You know,
it
older
is,
people can say, yes, you can be at home if it's done safely.
Mm-hmm.
Those are just a few of the very interesting studies that I want to talk to you. But now I sort of want to shift gears a little bit and talk about some of the new medicines that are out there that might help and some of the new procedures out there.
Yeah.
You probably don't watch much TV, do you, Charles?
Not a whole lot, but I'm very interested in this because, you know, I'm getting up there in age and I want to know what's going to work for me as I go down the years. Absolutely.
Well, Charles, you know, you're coming up on 40 pretty soon. And, you know.
Again, yes, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, there you go again. Or my grandpa used to say, I'm 39 and holding.
And holding. You know, that's me. Yeah, that would be it.
But it's hard to sort through. And that's why I wanted to give another voice out there because, you know, you see so many commercials on TV. Then after the commercial, they say, but this can cause this, and don't use it if this happens.
Yeah.
But I wanted to throw some out there. Well, what's out there modern medicine that I've used and I've seen other people use that might have a real benefit in helping people at least help their symptoms?
Good.
Well, one of the medicines that I've started using a little bit in my office is one called Entresto. That's the trade name of it, but it's two different medicines. One's called Sagubitril, and the other one's called Valsartan, okay? Mm-hmm. These are different types of medicines in a mixture, and we're using it now to treat people with heart failure, with a weak heart.
Mm.
And when a person has a weak heart, what happens to the body is it turns on a bunch of stress chemistry that tries to compensate.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say you have a weak heart. Well, the heart tries to compensate by making chemicals like epinephrine. Yep. It makes different types of other chemicals that help short term, but long term, these chemicals, these stress chemicals actually damage the heart.
Mm-hmm.
So we've developed medications that help blunt that response.
Hmm.
Any type of stress is going to damage the heart too.
You know, the way
you think. If you're having chronic pain, if you have chronic worry, if you're not getting enough rest, well, that's going to hurt the heart to some degree too, because it turns on the same stress cascade that the weak heart is causing in itself.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we've developed yet another one that I've started using for people that have heart failure that need a little extra help. Mm-hmm. Of course, we want them to do all the healthy things that they can do, but some people can do more, some people can do less. But I've noticed in using this medicine, Entresto, it's helped people stay out of the hospital, helps their heart not get weak as fast, and in a few people, it actually helps strengthen the heart.
Mm.
Now, this medicine has been recommended for use as a replacement for a standard that we used to have called ACE inhibitors, mm-hmm. which block certain angiotensin. Mm-hmm. However, there are side effects with all of these medicines. Well, what's worse, the medicine or the side effects? Mm-hmm. So you have to be very careful with it. People with kidney problems and low blood pressure, they're probably not the best one. But I've started to use this medicine, and especially for people with heart failure and a weak heart, and in the right class of people, those with class 2 or 3 heart failure, and those are people that can't do very much without getting short of breath,
right.
This has actually helped people quite a bit. And they've looked at the studies, and I'm going to give us the statistics here. It says if 100 people that met the category changed them to these new medicines over a period of time, over 2.3 years, that's what they did in the study,
right.
You prevent 3 deaths and 5 hospitalizations.
Wow.
And 11 overall for each 100 people that you switch.
That's pretty good, you know? Actually. That's pretty good.
But you have to choose your patients very carefully, okay? Mm-hmm. But this is a medicine that people hear about occasionally. And I think that if you are one that might have heart failure, that keeps going to the hospital because fluid builds up in your lungs, mm-hmm. if your kidneys are okay, you might talk to your doc, say, hey, listen, I've heard this one might help some people. Mm-hmm. Would you be willing to give this new medicine a trial? Now, this hasn't been around a long time. There's always controversy about some of these trials, but I've seen it firsthand. If it's done appropriately, it could be very beneficial. And I've seen several patients that are mine, and I don't, again, whether it's the medicine itself or a combination of the medicine and a belief that something else is working. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people think this is one of the newer breakthrough medicines that we've had in heart failure.
Very good.
So the mainstay in heart failure through the years, Charles, has been, A, let's find out what's making the heart weak and see if we can reverse it.
Right.
Okay. And sometimes, you know, we can help the valves. Sometimes we can help the arteries. Sometimes we can help the rhythm. Mm-hmm. But then sometimes the damage has just been done. And then we're in what we call damage control. And that's where modern medicine can be useful. You know, if your heart's not strong enough to give fluid out of you, then a fluid pill might be appropriate.
Yeah.
You know, if a medicine can block some of these chemicals that's making the heart weaker and perhaps get it stronger, like this medicine, Entresto, well, maybe it should be tried. Mm-hmm. So there is a place for modern medicine, understanding that they have to all be used carefully, and it's all about risk and benefits, but you want to try to get at the causes of these problems first. Now, if a person has heart failure because they eat too much salt all the time and processed foods, yes. and they swell up because of that,
yeah.
well, this medicine is probably not going to be as beneficial to that person with heart failure as cutting back the sodium in processed foods. If someone never walks and exercises, well, that's probably much more beneficial than this medicine for different things. If someone never rests appropriately at night, well, that's something they want to add. So these medicines are not to replace tried and true lifestyle interventions that we know help, but these are something that we can add on if we're doing everything that we possibly can do, and it does not seem to put us over the hump.
This is important stuff, and I know that you want your listeners to realize that modern medicine has a place, but so does God's ways of living has a place, and that's even important. That's actually the most important thing. As long as we are living our lives in accordance with what God wants us to do, we can pretty well know we're going to have good health. But sometimes it's not enough, and that's when modern medicine comes in and can be our true knight in shining armor. Short break here. We'll be right back with Dr. James Markham, so stay right where you are.
Did you know that last year in the United States, over 4 billion prescriptions were written? Prescription medications seem to be the most popular treatments these days. But what can we do if we want to limit our exposure to prescription medications? At HeartWise, we recognize the importance of nutrition in treating and prevention of disease. Dr. Hippocrates stated, "Let food be thy medicine." Many evidence-based studies support a whole food, plant-based diet. But how is this achieved in the fast-paced world we live in today? We want to encourage those interested in this type of treatment to watch the documentary film Plant Pure Nation and visit the website plantpurenation.com. This is a great first step towards helping yourself move towards better health and helping make the world a better place. Visit PlantPureNation.com to start your journey today. That's PlantPureNation.com.
Welcome back to the program. I'm your host, Charles Mills. Our guest today, Dr. James Markham, founder, director of Heartwise Ministries. We're talking about new developments in medications, procedures, and lifestyle discoveries. Dr. Markham, what you're telling us here is very encouraging because a lot of people say, well, I want to do just the natural way, and I want to stay away from modern medicine. But sometimes that really is not a good idea. Am I right?
That's correct, Charles, especially for emergencies,
yes.
Things that are, you're bleeding to death, you need an antibiotic, you're having a heart attack. For acute problems, it's very beneficial. For some genetic problems that you're born with, you know, these newborns that have these problems that modern medicine can help with, very beneficial. And now, you know, we talked about this medicine Entresto for heart failure. We
yes.
talked about some of the new advances. Some of it included eating healthier foods, the chemicals that are in those that can be used as treatment to slow aging and treat diseases. But now I want to talk about where are we going with all this, you know? Science keeps going forward, and I'm glad you brought up God's way, because that's always the best way, Charles.
Yes.
But all of us are born with bad genes,
yes,
Charles.
Yes.
And no matter what we do, all of the genes get older, and they malfunction. So, of course, we don't want it to be done quickly, so that's why we have these other things, these lifestyle changes that we can slow these telomeres from shortening and maybe slow down these mutations and help us in many ways. We know that antioxidants can slow down these mutations, and healthy lifestyle definitely helps. But some people just have bad genes, and no matter what they do, bad things happen.
Yes.
Sometimes modern medicine can help with that. And even if modern medicine can't help with that, I want people to know that they need a savior. So sooner or later, all of us are going to break, Charles,
yeah.
And we need someone to save us. And even if we can't do everything right, even if we have the bad genetics, God's grace is enough to heal us.
Amen.
God decides how, but there is a place for modern medicine. You know, there's a place for lifestyle. And I want to talk to you about some of the neat things that are out there that we're going to hear more about that I think personally they're going to have a play
good.
In this.
Good.
But we have to look at balance. And the first one goes back a few years ago when they came up with a human genome project.
Mm-hmm.
Genome basically means our DNA, our genetics. Francis Collins wrote a book not too long called The Language of God. These are about the 23,000 genes that regulate the body. Well, we've now been able to map the human genome. And, you know, you've heard of these genetic companies like Ancestry.com and
right,
all of these
yeah.
things. They're doing it for other reasons. But now the government paid about $3 billion in taxpayer money to finish this. Now we're using it to help people understand their genes, understand what's making these disease processes, causing it, understanding the specific genes that do this.
Mm-hmm.
So we have developed genetic tests for all sorts of things. They're working on genetic tests for prostate cancer that can maybe help motivate some person if they're at a high risk to do things to lower the risk of cancer.
Mm-hmm.
They're now trying to be able to insert things into genes now that can actually help a person, that can change the way they respond to different things. They also have genetic testing now that they can see how medicines help, how they interact with other medicines, how they're metabolized within the body.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of interesting, but I think this is a real big breakthrough that we're going to hear about different therapies used to focus on genes and what's causing mutations and whether we can take out the bad genes and fix the bad genes and do all that. But we're going to hear a lot about genomic. So if you hear something about genomic testing, I would start to listen at that because that gets at the core of who we are.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's one of the biggest advances we've had in medicines in quite a long period of time.
Now, this doesn't frighten you, Dr. Markham. You're a scientist. You're a doctor. This messing around with people's genes. Are you okay with this?
Well, you know, there's different levels of doing this, Charles. You know, for instance, for a child that's in utero,
yes.
you can look at those genes and you can perhaps help them live a life that's worth living. That's one thing. For instance, you can identify a cancer gene at an early age that runs in families. Yes. And you can tell this family, listen, you have this cancer gene. Not only do we have to do surveillance younger, but we have to do everything we can to prevent cancer. Mm-hmm. That might include never picking up a cigarette, changing the diet, you know, all those things, and surveillance. So if you do have it, we on top of it real quick.
That makes sense.
So for those type of situations, let's say you have to be on a medicine and you don't know whether this medicine is going to help or hurt you. Well, by studying the genes, well, this medicine and this genotype will help, but if you have these genes, it won't help.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it can predict allergies. You know, you have an allergy to this, and some people have an allergy to this. Well, here's the genes that trigger the allergies, that trigger the immune system. Mm-hmm. You know, we can identify those genes, and maybe there's some things we can do to shut them off. For instance, you know, allergies are a big problem. Well, what if they could find the specific genes that were causing these chemical sensitivities or food sensitivities?
Right.
And we could find a mechanism to shut them off.
Mm-hmm.
That might be better than hodgepodge of some of the things we are doing.
Yeah,
okay?
That's true.
These aren't real lifestyle problems that we're doing, but it's good for genetic problems, different medicines. We want to see how they metabolize things, helping us with the dosage, maybe predicting side effects. Now, I don't believe in this, you should create a brand new species,
yes,
that kind of stuff,
okay,
which you've heard about before.
Yes, yes.
But I think in specific, you know, genetic conditions, we have it in heart disease patients. Yes. We have a condition that, you know, hypertrophic cardiomyopathy, where people have sudden death in families. Well, we can go and look at the genes now and predict which families are at highest risk and which families are at lowest risk, identify them, and not only watch them carefully, but also do what needs to be done from a modern medicine. Sometimes they need a defibrillator at a younger age. So I think there's some places where we can move forward with genetic testing and genetic use. But unfortunately, Charles, there's never that balance. It seems like there's one extreme or another in almost everything.
True. It sounds like you're saying, let's use our genes for guidance as help in helping us know what to do here.
Yeah. But don't you find in life there's places for the extreme people get all of the attention.
Yes,
you know, the ones that are they're doing one thing or another. But there's a balance in everything. There's a balance with medicines, and there's a balance in lifestyle. There's a balance in all this new research. And there's no place for a moderate voice, you know.
Yeah.
But I think if you go back to the Bible really focuses on, you know, having a balanced life. There's a time for this, there's a time for that. But where do we all end up going? But the time for worship, the time with God, that has to be the most important time. That's something I want our listeners to keep an eye on. Keep an eye on genomic research, especially for identifying problems at early age that you might want to change your lifestyle for,
right,
identifying problems that could be treated by some of the technology we have at an early age as well, maybe identifying which medicines are effective based on our metabolism, based on our genes,
right,
maybe for some things that can turn on and off certain genes that are triggering our immune systems.
Yeah.
You never know, but it's something that's advancing. We need to keep our eye on it. We need to know it's out there. Genes, important.
And listener, we will let you listen to these programs and learn from them. From Dr. James Markham here, founder, director of HeartWise, we will be that moderate voice that is needed out there. And we have honored you by doing that for many years, and we're going to continue doing that in the years to come. Thank you so much for listening to us today. And Dr. Markham, thank you for being with us and giving us a little insight into what's coming up. Appreciate it.
My pleasure, Charles. And, you know, I'm just glad we're getting some professionals, and we're getting people from all walks of life on our program, sharing their knowledge and sharing for people. But I'm just so glad that the people are listening and they're learning about the balance approach. But I just want to keep focusing back to the biblical approach. You know, focus on what God says. That's the only real true map to health that we have. So just stay close to Him. That's going to be our ultimate treatment.
Amen, amen. Until next time, this is Charles Mills along with Dr. James Markham, founder, director of HeartWise Ministries, inviting you to remain HeartWise. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you for joining us today on HeartWise. If you'd like more information on how to build and maintain optimum physical, mental, and spiritual health, log on to heartwiseministries.org. HeartWise is a listener-supported program, and your partnership with us would be greatly appreciated. Once again, our web address is heartwiseministries.org.